Shut up and sit down.
Live, raw, unedited. Dr. Devin Dana coming at you from Studio D in Wilmington, Philadelphia Metro. You are listening to the Eat Clean, Think Dirty show. The views expressed here are simply opinions and not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any of your problems. Listen at your own risk.
Baby. So we thought we'd start off with this Friends episode because Dana has a some type of maybe cold or
could be mold,
could be
or
a mold infection,
or I don't know, something.
And she's spitting up all kinds of stuff. We're at my place, and she's spitting up all kinds of stuff out of her throat and spitting it in my sink.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's,
it's cool though,
sexy.
Because
that's sexy, like Phoebe singing and.
Yeah, so she's got that scratchy voice today on the podcast after like she I've told me I have a man's voice.
Number of weeks.
For a number of weeks. Well, that's why it might be mold. Yeah. But hold on a second. You got the sexy voice and I got the man voice because that's what we were talking about.
Okay,
prior
let's make this all about you now, Deb.
I'm a man. Yes, we don't need to make a song about me. There's already so many songs about me out
really?
There.
Really?
Yes.
Who has written a song about you?
Super Freak, man.
Oh, nice.
No, I'm joking. Okay, so anyway, moving forward, we are going to talk about like how to redefine yourself, right? Oh. Redefine life.
Yeah.
And how you redefine your life. And, you know, along with that comes like redefining, you know, relationships and redefining your health and, you know.
Purpose. So like basically what you want to start is you're just not happy right now. Like you're dissatisfied maybe. Like you've lost your contentedness and your passion and your joy. And I think that's, you know, you're starting from that kind of a place. You want to start redefining some things.
Yeah, and I think that like, you know, every so often, 4 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever, that you should take a look at your life, you should take a look at your relationship, you should take a look at your health, and become aware of things that may need to change, okay? And that doesn't mean that, you know, every 4, 6, 7 years that you have to change your relationship, but what I mean, if we're talking about relationships, is that you should look for a way to redefine your relationship so it can last 7 more, and then 7 more, and then 7 more, so it's a lifelong relationship.
Why do you use the number 7? I mean, that's a kind of a magical number for a number of reasons, right?
You know, whether it's 4 years, 5 years, you know, 7 years is the number that they use from a body perspective.
Like a regeneration.
A regeneration of mm-hmm. your body and cells and those
your
types
hair,
of things.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, so, you know, but from a relationship perspective, you know, if we're going to talk about that, like I teach people to redefine their relations every 4 to 5 years, okay, because relationships can become stagnant.
Well, I think at that point is when it starts to go on the decline.
Yeah.
Heading up to the 7-year mark. That's why they call it the 7-year itch, right?
Yes. So
I mean, it doesn't like come on you at like 7-year hits and you're like, oh, I'm done. It sneaks up on you.
It's a decline.
Yeah.
And I believe that the happier couples and the couples that have like longevity, even friendships for that matter,
uh-oh,
can also be redefined. But, you know, from a lover perspective, it is about like, hey, what can we do different moving forward? Are you happy with me? Actually, I think that question should be asked fairly often, several times
but
a year.
Not every day.
But
happy with me?
But several times a year. Like, hey, is there anything that I can do? Hey, is there anything that I'm not doing? You know, because think about it. But you want to make your partner happy.
Yeah.
Okay. And see, these concepts are foreign to most people.
Yeah.
Okay. So it becomes like, oh, I can't say that to them, you know, but no, you really should several times a year. Like, is there anything that I can do better? Is there anything that I can do that we need to talk about? Or is there anything I'm doing that we need to talk
uh-huh.
about? Those types of things. But, you know, when we're looking at longevity every, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, you need to start to look at not only your life, your relationship, your health, and look at redefining. So
hit the reset button.
And create, because here's the thing. You're the creator of your world.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is. So, you know, you've got to look at this. So, yeah, if you're not feeling, you know, super happy right now, that's a place to start.
So we're looking, we're at like 3-year mark in a friendship, I think. Is that right? I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got like 1 or 2 more years, and then we're going to start redefining, recreating, questioning. Do I make you happy?
Yeah. Should we actually, we should do a podcast on that.
In 2 years.
Let's redefine our relationship, Dana. Is there anything that I'm doing that is making you unhappy?
Oh, I'll get out my notebook.
Yeah. I'll get out my notebook, too. All right, moving on.
This comes after our first little tiff, which we did not put on the air.
Yeah, okay, no comment there. Okay, so let's look at you guys, okay, with regards to redefining your life, all right? You can start with, like, basic things, okay? You know you got bad habits, so you start getting rid of them.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you don't like that you do certain things. Be mindful of it. Be aware of it and start to change
it. Be honest about it.
Be honest about it. Absolutely.
Like you don't have to tell anybody else. Well, actually you might need to, depending on who you are. That's the accountability piece, which we'll talk about later. But if there's something that you recognize about yourself that you are like, yo, this shit needs to stop. That's where you need to start. And start small.
And here's the reality is that you can't fix what you will not face.
Oh, that's a good, is that your quote, or does that come from somebody else?
That's my thing, okay? Dr. Diblano. And I say this repeatedly, if you are not willing to face it, how are you going to fix it, heal it, design it, redesign it, whatever it may be?
That's so good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when it comes to, say, a habit that you don't like, if you're not willing to face it and accept it, then, you know, it's not going to get fixed.
So would you suggest to somebody, like, make a list or just address one thing at a time? Like, do you think a list might be a little bit overwhelming?
Yes.
All right. So just pick one and maybe write it down and, like, literally look at it and, like, this is what I need to face.
I'd go with three.
Three.
Pick your three top things.
I just asked you.
Focus on it. Well, you look, there's a list, and some people might have 20 things on that list. Is that going to be overwhelming?
Limit it for now.
Limit it.
So
make it
one
three.
To three. Depending on who you are.
Okay, fine. Depending on who you are. But my recommendation is three that you work on for the next year.
Okay.
Because we're looking for some level of perfection here. We're not looking for, I'm going to change it, and I change it for a couple months, and then I'm going back right to it. You want to focus on it, so take a year, give yourself a year, focus on all three, okay, because there's going to be ebbs and flows, okay, because you're gonna fall back, okay, forgive yourself for falling back, and continue to move forward with your change there.
Ooh, I have a question.
Yes.
So would you, like, address one at a time or add to them in layers or just knock out all three for a year? What do you, my answer to that would be, I would think you would need to just add to them in layers. Like, you know, you're starting to get the hang of one, you've gotten the habit down,
and then
of not having that habit. And then you add the next one. Is that what you think?
Yes. Okay. So a couple months on one, you know, pretty hardcore. Couple months on the other one while you're still working on the one. And then,
is really one at a time, but your goal is to knock three out in 1 year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And layer them. Yeah. And then, you know, what that does is it starts to cultivate new qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so right there. Okay. So you can, depending on how motivated you are, you can redefine things very quickly, okay? But I just give a little bit longer of a time because most people need more time because most people do get stressed and overwhelmed and they make up excuses and this and that. So I give a little bit longer of a time. But then there's people like, you know, they want to make the change. They instantly make it and, you know, it's pretty much done. But, you know, when you start this process, you then start to cultivate new qualities.
Mm-hmm. So as you're adding to it those things, I think you also might want to add things that, like, bring you joy, right? So if you start to go on a walk every day, for example, instead of, like, sitting on your ass in the morning, make sure you walk past things that make you happy, like some nice flowers or that dog that makes you smile or, you know, the neighbor who is cool but not overbearing, that they're not going to stop you in your tracks or, like, whatever.
And
just things that make you smile, so you actually look forward to doing them.
Yeah, which goes into making choices about doing what you love.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people get stuck in this, oh man, why do I have to do that? Or I don't want to do that. Or and they end up doing it. And I think part of redefining yourself and your life is learning to do things that you love and letting go of being worried about what others will think, like, oh, he's so selfish or she's so selfish. Mm-hmm. So do what you love. That doesn't mean that you can't give to other people, but you also need to do what you love.
Well, how about this? What if you don't love it, but you need to learn how to love what you need to do, right? There's that, because like I don't love running. Like, not a lot of people love exercising.
Yeah.
You know, so what you have to kind of look at the end game.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't, realize that this is a means to an end. You're never going to get that end game if you don't go through the process.
Yeah, I think so. Like, let's just take that for a second, exercise and dissect it a little bit. All right. So, yeah, I mean, there's some people who absolutely love running, and then there's other people who
hate it. Me, hands up.
And anybody who runs knows that there is an amazing feeling at the end of that run, even if it's like interval
type
running.
Thank God I'm finished. That's my amazing feeling.
Well, my amazing feeling is, damn, I feel really clear and energetic, because I actually like that. But here's what I would say to that. I think your point is well made. But I think that when it comes to exercise, while you may not like exercise, I think that you can search around for something that you may like. And here's what I think.
Oh, yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like find the joy in it.
Yeah, like you may do very well on sports teams, because I know a lot of people that are like, oh, I hate going to the gym. You know, I get so bored at the gym. I get bored mm-hmm. on the treadmill. I do. But you may do very well when you are interacting on a team with mm-hmm. somebody, because maybe you like the camaraderie.
Or the competition
or something like that. Maybe running's not your thing, but like yoga is, and yoga's a great workout.
Right.
You know, because maybe you like the calming effect of it or something like that. And it doesn't take, and there's a class for it, you mm-hmm. know, so you've got instruction and you've got somebody to answer to. So
Right. Yes,
finding the joy in things or learning how to find the joy in something,
mm-hmm.
you know, which.
Yeah, I think that's a biggie.
Yeah, I think knowing your value, and I think a lot of people struggle here, all uh-huh. right? Like,
yeah.
You have to know that you are valuable, okay? So a lot of times, and look, you know I have a love-hate relationship with social media, all right? And people who know me know that I've got this love-hate relationship with it.
Yep.
And I think that social media actually can do one or two things and sometimes be a little bit, for lack of a better word, schizophrenic with what I'm about to say. That it can take value away from you, and it can also, if you use it in a certain way, can add value to you. All right? So, for example, if you are looking at people's pictures and you're thinking, oh man, I wish I had that vacation, or oh, look at that relationship, I wish I had that. And then you're
the envy perspective,
which most of what you're seeing is bullshit, okay? And you don't know exactly what's going on in that person's life, or their insecurities, or their worth issues, or their relationship issues.
Yeah,
blah,
you're seeing
blah,
the
blah.
Highlight reel for the
exactly.
most part, right?
And I think that takes value away from the personhood. However, there are also people who use social media in a way that they create, like a following that is for their books or their whole program. And here's the other interesting thing, is that a lot of those people actually have people that are monitoring the people who are commenting on their Facebook. So you're only going to get the, oh my God, you're so amazing, you know, and you're not going to get the people who say, like, who the fuck do you think you are? Okay. Those types of things.
Right.
So, you know, I always recommend, look, take a little bit of time away from social media, get reconnected to yourself, figure out, like, you know, and strengthen your value. Okay. Yes, I do this.
I'm thinking about, you should probably talk to like the president about this.
Oh, man. See, here's the thing. You never want to talk about politics, but you throw in this stuff all the time. And then, like, you know, you make me want to come with a comeback, and then you don't want to talk about it.
Go ahead. Give me your comeback.
No, because then it's going to go into a show about politics. And I will tell you this. I'll give you the challenge. If we should do a show on politics, because we should. And I will let me back up. I will comment on that. He is not on Twitter as much because of what has recently happened.
Oh, I'm sure.
And he's taking a step back. As he's also not doing press conferences anymore because of the way the left media twists that crap around. Now, okay. Moving on and redefining your life, get your mind right, okay? Your thoughts control your life. And if you think negative, and if you think that you can't do something, and if you think nobody wants me, nobody, you know, wants to give me anything, nobody wants to love me, nobody wants to whatever it may be, then that's what you're going to create.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, you know, if you're going to redefine, you know, even with regards to your relationship, oh, he doesn't love me, she doesn't love me, or oh, you know, he's not doing this, and that must mean something about me, or even your health, like, oh, I feel so crappy, let me go to the doctors. No, something's definitely wrong. Oh, I want to go to the doctors, I want to find this out. You know, like, you know, get control of your thoughts, like, think positive, think that, like, and it's not just about thinking positive, all right? It's about cultivating your world, okay, with everything that we've talked about so far. But, you know, your thoughts control your life, and, you know, you need to get control of them. And I always recommend meditation for this, you know, be it Kundalini meditation, be it even reading books on, like, universal energy, okay, to start to get you to a better, like, motivational place. All right, so that you can want to control your thoughts.
Yeah, I saw something recently, something like, don't say anything about your health that you don't want to be true. So basically, even if it is currently true, mm-hmm. you know, like, don't even put it out there. Don't acknowledge it. You know,
that's
like,
really good.
Yeah.
Tell me more. Like, so, for example, when I say, oh, man, I think my thyroid's messed up. Like, don't even say that.
Right.
Is that,
like,
what you're saying?
You phrase it in a different way. Like, you know, I have some things I need to address, you know, let me go. I need to talk to my doctor about, you know, enhancing blah, 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 blah. You know, rather than admitting to yourself that, you know, like, I've got this issue. And it's just more of a reframing effort rather than, you know, changing the language around and focusing it, pointing it more towards what you desire to be true rather than what actually is.
So we know that from a psychological perspective, language is very sensitive, mm-hmm. and reframing all kinds of things, absolutely, I agree with. But what you're hitting on, which is interesting with regards to health, is almost a universal energy, all right? So don't put it out there. Reframe it so that you're sending a different message, not only to your subconscious mind, but also to the universe. And the language that people use will change the vibrational scale that they're on. So, for example, if somebody says, oh, you know, my arthritis is acting up. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm in such pain, you know, that, like, you are on a very low vibrational scale. You are feeling negative, you're feeling pessimistic, you're feeling, you know, possibly angry at your arthritis, versus what Dana said. If you say, oh, you know, I'm going to go get this checked out. Oh, and thinking that, you know, this shark cartilage supplement really helps this.
Okay, so you're no shark
so
anything.
So you're reframing.
Jess,
okay,
she didn't
whatever.
Just say that.
Reframing it so that you're raising your vibrational level to optimism, which is one of the highest points on the emotional vibrational scale, and you're going to channel more ease to you. Yes,
yeah.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I also saw something like, I think it was a temporary tattoo that I saw that was like, you know, all of my cells are in perfect alignment, and, you know, something like that. You know, it's just a mantra, a new way of, you know, thinking about yourself and speaking it into existence.
Yes. Now, I do that kind of stuff regularly, and I believe that it absolutely works. And here's the interesting thing is that because, and I think everybody out there needs to know that because life comes into the picture, okay, life can sometimes have you respond and react very differently, and you need to get back on that path, okay, and make that connection. And all of this is part of redefining your life and redefining whatever you need and want to redefine.
Good, good, good.
And the other thing, too, is, like, define you for you.
Yeah, not for others.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people, you know, they, be it a family, be it a friend, be it a lover,
was that an air quotes,
a husband, yeah. They define themselves for that person, and you need to remember that you're the master of your own fate. And that doesn't mean that you can't do, like, let's take a husband or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and let's say they're into something different than you. That doesn't mean that you can't, you know, do what they like to do and be, you know, part of their experience and create an us experience. It means that, you know, your value, your virtue, your dignity, your character all needs to be defined by you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like.
Yeah. So, like, don't mind, you know, what other people think, and
don't become somebody that you're not just to please somebody else.
Yes. Now, you know, I think there's some level of flexibility there, because I think some people might take that and they'll go back to their wife and they'll say, see, you know, these girls said I shouldn't do this, and you're trying to control me, and you want me to do A, B, C, and D. No. Okay. You certainly can do things out of love and, you know, because it makes people happy, okay? But don't ever go against your own guidance system to please someone else is the main sort of concern there.
Yeah, make it your own purpose.
Yeah, so for example, you know, look, if somebody's into, let's just take yoga, okay, and somebody's never done yoga, and maybe somebody has heard really bad things about yoga, like it's a cult, okay, because I've heard that before.
Really?
Oh, my God, yes.
Because of the chanting?
Uh-huh.
Or
sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Ooh, with this voice, I'm really good at that.
Oh. And, ooh.
Did you get your chills?
Just very
chills?
Sexy voice there. Mm. So let's say that, you know, so someone, your new boyfriend or girlfriend is into yoga, all right, and you've always heard it was a cult. Like you can go in and experiment with it and explore it. Okay, you don't have to necessarily say, oh, I'm never going to do yoga because it goes against my guidance system, you know, because then you're being rigid.
Nor should you go out and, like, before you even attend a class, like, buy a whole new yoga mat and yoga clothes and yoga socks.
Get into yoga.
And, you know, like,
you're
the yoga toe style, like, right, like, be all about it because, like, you have no fucking clue if you're going to like that or not. Like, if it's going to vibrate with you.
You can go to the other extreme.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So check it out.
Yeah, because at that point, you are defining yourself again, you know, in accordance to what somebody else likes. I mean, in a relationship, people can have different interests. And
yeah,
as a matter of fact, you should have different interests because that's what brings more conversation and more excitement.
And
because
a little bit of separation, which is a good thing.
And absolutely separation. Absolutely. Okay, so these are some ways to redefine your life and maybe start looking at it every 4 to 6 to 7 years. And if you've never done it and you're like 50 years old, maybe it's time to start doing a little bit of, you know, exploration in that area.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I guess we're not going to touch on the accountability piece. Might be a good thing for people to do.
Talk about it, girl.
She's like winding it up. She didn't even give me the like 5 second warning. She's like, oh, I'm just ending this shit.
Well, we got to do a clean freak fix too.
Oh, that's true. Well, actually, let's make this the clean freak fix.
Yes.
Because accountability is, you know, it's key in success for almost everything that you do, whether it's, you know, success at your job or success at like quitting doing something that you shouldn't be doing or, starting a new exercise routine or, you know, whatever, that diet that you've been meaning to, you know, start following, whatever it is, you know, if you just keep it inside, you're only accountable to yourself, and we're very lenient on ourselves when it's convenient for us, aren't we?
For the most part, some people can get a very, very hard on themselves, and that's where the shame and the guilt come in.
Well, that's the shame and the guilt, but I think they're hard on themselves in other ways, like, oh, woe is me, kind of like, I'm no good, blah, blah, blah. And you also need an accountability person or persons or group to help you avoid doing that to yourself, you know, because if you're only keeping it inside, well, I've got this goal and I'm going to start doing this or I'm going to stop doing this, you're only answering to you. And you're also your own worst enemy a lot of times, where you're just like, oh, well, okay, I failed, I can't do this anymore. And you're just going to talk yourself out of it. But when you have somebody else meeting you at the gym or, you know, good example, my one boss, he was like, I really need to start moving, like just exercising, like doing something. And I set him up with one of my friends who was just starting out as a personal trainer. And he didn't necessarily want to, like, go to the gym and get buff. He's just like, I just want to, like, go to the park and, like, throw a baseball around or, like, ride a bike or, you know, do some stuff, like, get active, because he's basically, like, an attorney sitting at his desk all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. And he knew he was getting a little fluffy, you know?
Oh, fluffy.
So, yeah. He's certainly not fat, but he was getting a little fluffy. So I set him up with this girl. Excuse me, woman. And he was like, this was great. You know, it was just what he needed to, like, have somebody on the other end waiting for him and saying, hey, we're going to do whatever today. And it's working out really well. So that's just one small example.
Yeah. And
you
I think
do, like, online groups.
Yeah. And that's a great new thing with technology, that you can certainly get involved with, like, online groups that will help you to take accountability with things. So we'll end with the fact that, and I'll take accountability for this, that we did not prepare a clean freak fix, and Dana
I just pulled one out of my ass.
Pulled that out of her behind. So we own it, because we take accountability for what we do and don't do. So with that, you know, start living with some more purpose and start looking at redefining your life every now and then, and your relationship, as well as your health.
Smelly cat.
Smelly cat. I don't think it's what as raspy. You gotta, like,
feeding you.
You gotta start yelling tonight so that tomorrow your voice can be all, like, raspy.
I don't think I need to go in that direction again. Yeah.
You do.
I'm feeling much better. So
okay,
let's accelerate in that direction. That's much better for me.
Okay.
All right, guys. Bye.
You know you want more. Find them on Facebook at Eat Clean Think Dirty the Podcast, and stalk them on Twitter at Don't Eat Dirty.